Hey everyone, welcome to the Worship Artistry Podcast. My name is Jason Houtsma, and with me, all the way back from Germany,
is Christina Kaslanka.
Miss World Traveler, just taking the good news of the gospel.
Just everywhere I go.
everywhere. Why were you in Germany?
I joined some friends over there that were preparing for a larger kind of evangelism crusade in an area of Germany. But I was there specifically to be there for 10 days of worship and prayer leading up to the event.
It's a lot.
So I was there for the first 6 days of this, and it really consisted of like 8 to 10 hours a day in a tent in prayer and worship.
Oh, you never told me it was in a tent.
Yes.
Are we talking like a big top, like a circus?
Yeah. Like, it felt like you were in a circus tent. It was really cool, actually. It was a very cool tent. Like, it was a vibe.
Oh, okay. So when you're doing this, are you planning it at all? Or are you just, like, walking up and going on the piano and just, like, whatever comes is happening?
It's a little bit of both, I would say. So I would do, like, I didn't create the schedule, but there would be times where I would do, like, an hour, and then someone would come right after me. Or there was a time I did, I think, 3 hours. Like, it was different every time. So before jumping on a set, I would think about maybe, you know, like grabbing 3 to 4 songs. Mm-hmm. I was like, I think I want to do these. But because it was very much, I would say it wasn't worship leading, because there were people in the tent, but it would vary. Just, you know, someone would come in for an hour, mm-hmm. leave. So sometimes there would be 20 to 40 people in there, and other times it would just be you on the stage and then the prayer leader also in the tent, and there's just like the two of you.
And is this like run by a church, or is it an event that's like...
It's an event, yeah. It was, well, leading up to an event. Mm-hmm. So they've been doing a lot of prep work there for the last 3 months, just connecting with local churches, local organizations and things leading up to it. But yeah, so I would... kind of prepare for the set mentally, thinking like, all right, I have 3 hours, so I'm gonna potentially use these songs, but then just see where it goes. Or if it's just by myself, sometimes I only came with a single song, and I was like, well, we'll just see how this goes for the next hour.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It sounds really fun.
It was a lot. I didn't even feel the jet lag.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
I haven't had anything near as exciting, but I did run into a guy at a graduation party.
Love graduation parties.
Well, it's a little weird. Like, I love graduation parties too. And in the past, I've always loved them because I'm going to my old guitar students, or like, you know, oh, like, hey, I've been teaching this kid guitar since he's in eighth grade and now he's graduating, that kind of stuff. But now it's like, it's weird because I'm starting to go to graduation parties of my kids' friends, like, kids that we've grown up with, mm-hmm. as they were kids that are right around my kids' age. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden I'm like, everyone's going to be gone in 2 years. Like, it just starts to like...
hit you?
Yeah, a little more.
Yeah.
A little more. And so it's great to celebrate that. But I was at the graduation party and this guy, I started talking to this guy and he goes, oh yeah, I know exactly who you are. He's like, I came walking in, I heard your voice from the back, and I was like, oh, Jason's here. He'd been using Worship Artistry...
That's so cool.
For a long time. And he's like, oh, yeah, dude, it's great. I've used it. He goes, I actually used it and learned. Like, I feel really good now on Sundays. And then also my son has been using it. And now, like, he went to college. He's better than me. But he comes home and now we just sit and play together. Like, it's this super cool thing. I'm just like, wow. It still blows my mind.
Jason, you're a celebrity.
Shout out to Colin. Made my day.
It's funny that he walked in and was like, that's Jason's voice.
Gosh, well, I get so tired of hearing my own voice.
Did he know that you were in Bellingham?
Yeah, I think so. Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure we had met years ago up at a ski lodge. He would call it a snowboard lodge. That was a clear thing, you know?
Yeah.
He hasn't quite converted yet, but he'll get there. So,
anyways,
completely irrelevant. But the point being, it was super fun to run into somebody who was using them. So it's cool, like... you're going and doing these things and you're taking them across the world, and I'm going to graduation parties and bringing them there also.
To each their own.
That's right. Well, I don't know who's making the bigger impact. But I'll tell you what, you know what impacted me?
Yes.
Is talking to Josh Holiday.
What a guy.
Yes. I love this interview. Josh, so it's funny. I actually had Josh on. He's part of Elevation Rhythm. He's like the main producer. And we had Elevation Rhythm on when they first came out, and they did their first record. And it was interesting because their conversation in that interview is all about like, yeah, it's like a playlist, you know, it's just kind of all these different things. And that was the thing I noticed about it. When I listened to it, I was like, this doesn't sound like the same band, you know? And it was funny because you could tell like there was kind of the front man who was talking and doing most of the talking. Then you had Josh, but you could tell he was like the quiet genius. So I had Josh all to myself this time, and we got right into it. And I love what they did with this record. I was like fist pumping in the office when I was listening to it.
It's a really cool record.
Oh, like right from the beginning. Like I just...
And you have to listen to it from top to bottom.
Yes. Yeah. It's an experience. Yeah. It's fantastic. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. I want Josh to talk about it. So without further ado, Josh Holiday.
I have to tell you, I can't wait to talk to you about this record. And I was so excited it was you, because last time you were on the podcast last time, and like you're kind of the mastermind. Like you're from a production standpoint, I want to talk to you about so much production on this record. Like it's just killer, man. Last time I had you guys on it, you know, it was for the album Growing Up, and that one was I remember you guys talking about like, oh, it's like a playlist. Like it's just all these really different, you know, things. And this one feels significantly more like feels like an album, feels more cohesive. And I'm just curious, like, was that kind of your idea going in? Were you kind of, what kind of drove that decision to do that? And was that even intentional? Was that a decision?
Yeah, I think we had to realize that we needed to introduce who we are. And I knew as we are in these beginning stages, I knew we had to lay a foundation of what we believe in and who we believe in. So before, because there's so many places we can go sonically, and there's so many types of songs we could do, I needed some type of anchor to kind of like put out. I need to put out an anchor album that is just like, hey, like this is our foundation. Like this is who you, like before you know anything else about us, you're gonna know like what we believe in and who we believe in. And then that's gonna be, now I feel way more comfortable and more confident to really start to explore and in these different spaces and genres and stuff like that. But I just didn't really want to keep exploring without really setting that anchor.
That's really cool. Was there an intentional like, all right, this album's going to be about the gospel, so we're going to like lean into gospel, some gospel sounds?
I can't remember which one came first. I think the thought of like, I want to really kind of keep it simple. I wanted the lyric message. I wanted to be very just like, hey, let's just sing the Bible. Like, let's keep it very like simple. And I think the two elements that I also knew, so maybe I think that, I don't know which one came first, but I knew I wanted to have drums, a lot of drums. And I knew I wanted to have vocals, like just whether it's a choir, whether it's different types of vocals, I just wanted a very like strong vocal performance. And I also wanted a lot of drums. And so the choir and the drums were like the main two instruments that I was like, hey, I'm going to build most of these songs around either one of those or two of those things. And so the song This Is the Gospel, though, came after I knew I wanted it to be about the gospel. And so we didn't write it and then think that we were going to name our album that. But I think that it came from a writing camp. But I knew from the beginning I wanted a very bold but simple message of an album.
I loved it, man. There's something I think really refreshing about just hearing like, this is what we believe. Like, this is the gospel. You know, I've spent a lot of times in, you know, in book groups, like having all these like late night discussions and all this stuff, and you can kind of like really wander around, and it's like, no, it comes back to Jesus, you know, like. And I love the way you started off with good news, and then You Will Be Saved was like just an awesome closer. And all the tones are, man, seriously, everything on this record sounds so good. Like, how did you build these songs up?
I think I'm trying to figure out which song to think about, but I think that they always start in this space of, I kind of know where I wanted to go before it gets there. So it's almost like I'm a little bit on a challenge. Like a song always is kind of like a challenge to me, where if I hear a This Is the Gospel, and I'm like, okay, this drum beat in this choir is essentially the foundation of the song. The hard part for me was just like, how do I make this song evolve, mm-hmm. but not like do the typical like fast song evolves, where it's like there's a drop or there's something like that. And so I think every song kind of, and not to sound like a hippie, but every song kind of speaks back to me and kind of tells me what it needs or what is missing. And so I kind of just like go into this relationship with the song, where I just kind of like put a little bit in, well, let me take this out, or let me try this, let me take, and I just kind of stay super involved with the song until it's like, until it kind of gets to the place where it's like, oh, I think this is where when I first heard the song, the excitement I got, I'm still in that place. Like from the genesis until the point to where when we put it out of it, I'm just like, yeah, no, this is what it was meant to be like. And so I'm pretty, I don't want to say I'm open-handed with the songs, but I'm very, I like to be intuitive, but also very sensitive to like what the song really needs. And it's hard to do that in live music because you're like, you have people around that are responding and reacting to it. And so you almost, sometimes you can get a little bit reactionary based off of what their reactions are. And you might be like, oh, they didn't do this, so let's change this. But I almost have to trust that I know it's going to be a little bit like, we're still trying to figure this thing out, but I could really listen to the song in whatever version 4 or version 5 and know, okay, version 6 is going to need this, is and that because of this, is and that. And so I'll go 30 versions of a song and love every step of the process, because it's figuring the song out more than it is like trying stuff because I'm a psychotic profession.
You're like a Rick Rubin, just kind of like letting the song speak. I've been listening to his book. It's like, yes, it's so good. Have you read that?
I literally have it right here.
It's so good. And it's so funny because he reads it, you know? So like, I wanted to get the audiobook, and he's just, you know, everything is like, the universe is telling you to do this. And then it's like, it does this little like gong. It goes like kind of the next thing. I'm just like, I'm right there, man. Yeah. I love it. No, that is really cool. Do you have some like producers that you've taken from in terms of your process? Like how have you developed your own approach to producing?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, Rick Rubin's a great example. It's his mentality. I think the biggest thing I learned from him was to step away from the song and come back to it and listen to it. Like the person, like I think as a producer, you listen to a song 1,000 times. That if you don't step away from it and get the fresh perspective of like that, like no one ever is going to listen to a song like a producer and artist listens to a song, because even your favorite song, you don't listen to it in the studio 100 different times and turn things down and bring things up. And so you've kind of become a little bit biased or like construe your thinking of. And so like I learned from him that you need to step away from the song and listen to it as the listener is going to listen to it. And that's after they had a long day, or after they're like in their car and they're like, where they're out to eat, like listen to it in environments that are like more human, like the human experience, and see how the song makes you feel in those spaces and not just how it makes you feel as a producer sitting in a studio all day. So he's kind of taught me that. I love, and who I, so many producers. This is a very random one, but the Diplo, he's a DJ / producer, and he's, the way he just goes into every genre and he becomes a student to every genre. Like he can do Afro pop, he can do pop, he can do country music, he can do it all, but he just kind of becomes this chameleon and really just becomes a student. And I've learned a lot from him, I don't know him or anything, but just like watching him, it reminds me to always like stay a student as a producer, a student to the artist and a student to the genre, where if I'm doing like a folk, like I'm working on some music right now for like new rhythm music, but it is a little bit more folky or like singer-songwriter. And it's like, I'm indulging myself in all kinds of music from like the 30s and the 40s, and like learning about the guitars. And like, I just become a student of the genre first before I feel like I had to start making it. I just want to learn so much about it. And so like, those are kind of like people, I don't know if I necessarily latch onto someone's sound, but I just admire producers and like artists like Prince or Stevie Wonder, like people who just really, the way they approach this art form, they really just affect me the most. And then outside of producing, like I listen to authors, I listen to, I watch Picasso like documentaries all the time to learn how he did things. I just love how people approach art more than how they executed it. It's more of like how they saw it first. And I think that's how I really learn.
That's awesome. Do you find those different influences like sneaking into places you wouldn't expect to see them? Like if you're like, okay, I've been deep in this folk right now. And so like, but now I'm over here and I'm going, man, you know, if we just brought in this little guitar line, that would be like, that would make this thing work.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. And that's why I don't know how much credit I could ever take for things, because I'm literally just like this like music encyclopedia in my head of just like, well, like I know that a Bob Dylan song, he does this in his bridge. So we should just do that in this random pop song. And it's just like, and so I just kind of like learn and absorb so much, and these ideas come and I'm just like, yeah, these are great ideas. But I think that without me taking the time to sit and learn and like become a student, I don't know if these ideas would just like, are just like coming out of nowhere. They're not coming out of this place of just like the abyss. Like they're definitely coming from a place of me always being a student and learning and loving music.
So it's funny because you talk about art and you talk about genre. And one thing that I think often happens, and I think it's for a lot of different reasons, but I think people look at worship as its own genre, right? Like it's less of a like, oh, it's a topic or it's a tool, and it becomes more like it sounds like this.
Yeah.
You guys have made some really beautiful worship music, and it doesn't sound like you would expect it to sound. How does that approach happen? Like, are you kind of going in and saying like, okay, we're just creating something and our hearts are full of worship, and so this is how it pours out and this is the way it happens? Do you ever feel kind of boxed in? Are you getting reactions from people like, this isn't how I do it, you know? like what's been the response to your approach?
It's being at Elevation and being under such a great ministry and pastor, and following the footsteps of Elevation Worship, who in some ways are like, they are like giants in the worship space and in the worship genre. Like Sunday mornings, they write some of the greatest songs that like are the best for Sunday morning. And so to be at a church that's really like almost like around that, and for us to come in into the same church, and because we're starting to sing songs on Sunday mornings as well, like rhythm songs, Wind of Love or You'll Be Saved, and to see them, I think the best thing about our church is how like the response is always great. It's refreshing. Like, I mean, our church, we do new songs all the time anyway. And so like there's a whole new batch of new songs that we're doing that Elevation Worship put out an album last week, but we're doing a whole new batch of songs now. And so there's like this energy, this creative energy in the worship space that our church, they're all for it. Like they lean into it, and they're we get great responses from it. I think outside of it, it's hard to, I don't know, it's hard to gauge where we, I think we kind of like took the, came to a peace of mind, just like, hey, we're not going to be easily, like, I don't know, people aren't going to get it at first. And like, that's okay to us. Like we're not in a rush. Like we're not in a rush to be quote unquote successful or quote unquote, like make sense in the spaces that already exist. We're willing to keep exploring and keep playing with different things. But also we're just hoping that the heart of the messages and the words that we sing are way more received than the tempos or the I don't know, like the formats, because I mean, you think about, even think about You'll Be Saved, like the heart behind that song is just, it's salvation. It's, and so it's like beyond all of that, like we're just hoping that these words and this heart and our mission is being heard more than like we're trying to make sure people are responding to it, like just how they respond to Graves in the Gardens.
Totally. Do you feel like, and maybe, I mean, I guess if you've done 30 versions of a song, you know, do you sometimes go, man, this song could be this, or it could totally be this, like it, the bones are there for this song to be anything, but this is what we're going to make it do. And do you ever kind of play around with, like, do you ever go like, oh man, I actually had a killer folk version of this song, but that's back there in version 22. And I don't know, maybe I'll come back to that in 5 years and go, oh, this was rad.
Yeah. No, we had our youth service rhythm night last night, and it was a new song. We just did a new song. And at the end of it, it was like, oh, like it felt like at the end of it, we could just like flow. And then I was just like, man, what if we didn't flow? What if we just went to this crazy rock, like spontaneous, but like upbeat, like rock. And we just kind of did it that way. And so I think that our team is just always, and it's not that, it doesn't come from a place of fatigue of like, oh, we're tired of doing the same things, but like, we're always in this what if space of like, and that's what I love about our team. It's like, we're always gonna like, oh, what if it didn't go there? And we kind of just like went against a little bit of our natural instinct to kind of like, oh, when a worship song comes down, you just sit and you put the pad on and we just kind of like just flow. Like, what if we just kind of put the energy back up and we actually like went into more of a high thing? And so we're always trying stuff. Sometimes they're horrible ideas. Sometimes like, but we don't take ourselves that seriously either, to where like I said, we're in no rush to be the greatest or to be perfect or anything like that. So we're down to try anything and make a mess and clean it up later or like all that, because we're just having fun.
What gives you that freedom? So like, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, I think a lot about what success means and what, you know, like what we're aiming for as worship musicians, what I'm aiming for as a songwriter and a worship musician, and how all those things like go together. When you think about, I mean, I think it's really refreshing to have this idea rather than like, we got to do this thing, that you're like, no, we get to grow into it. We get to create, you know, like explore and do all this. What creates that space for you?
It starts with our pastor, Pastor Stephen. He kind of established that for us first. He's like, he didn't put any pressure on us to like make hit records, to make, get awards or anything like that. It wasn't the pressure that he just wants. His vision for rhythm is for there to be a new sound that comes out of this church. And he knows that there's a sound. He just wants us to steward that sound well. And so, stewarding the new sound that's coming from our church means like the space to not put our hands on it and box it up and package it up and send it out too quickly, but to really just see, okay, God, what is it? Who is it? Where is it? And like, literally just stay in this place. That's where the freedom comes from, is that we're doing it with God. And so like, we're kind of being like, okay, what does this sound like? Okay, what does this look like? And then we're just really in this, letting it unfold more than we're letting it like trying to like put it together. We're kind of like, okay, we're just kind of going and letting it unfold. And who knows, this next album might not be anything like This Is the Gospel. And that's, we might learn new things about who rhythm is from this next project that we put out. And so then it's like, we're five albums in and we're still answering the question of like, what is this? But that's okay. And I think and I know that everyone's not always in that case. Like I said, we're completely blessed and honored to be able to do this, because we have such a great ministry with Elevation Worship and Pastor Stephen at Elevation Church that kind of are like leading things. And so we kind of get to just be in the back and do this. And so we just don't want to take, we don't want to like misuse that freedom and try to like control things too quickly. Like, if we have the space and we have the freedom and we're not in the rush, then why would we even do that? Like, let's just let's just explore and let's just see what God's trying to do with rhythm.
That's awesome. So a lot of times when people have that kind of, like, I feel like there's always kind of this back and forth. I, like, personally, I love having freedom, because if I have space and I have freedom, it's like I get to try a bunch of stuff. Other times it's like creating my own boundaries to say, all right, I'm only going to use these three instruments and see what I can make with these three instruments, you know, then that becomes a whole different thing. I know when it comes to creating, when it comes to making music, you know, I've heard some people like, I need the pressure on me. Like, I need something to just be like on my shoulders. Like, I got to get this done by Friday. And then that's going to drive me. How do you guys keep your, I guess, like, keep your motivation and keep your drive to also like to explore and also not settle and go like, we still want this to be excellent. We still want this to do something rad, even if everybody hates it.
I think that's
which they won't. Cause it's so dang good, man. I can't tell you, like, I put it on and I'm just like walking around my office and making my coffee and I'm just like grinning. I'm just like, this is yes. I had so many yes moments.
Thank you so much. I think that's kind of like my job as a leader is to not let the freedom feel overwhelming or like there's no vision. It's like, well, we're just like kind of run around, our heads cut off. Like, there's a little bit of like, I think my job is to really set vision and give expectation, but it's almost like the pockets of space. It's almost like the playground. It's like you kind of tell them like, hey, like, we play in these areas and like let's explore in these areas. But even like with this, the gospel, the vision was very clear for what the album was going to be. And I didn't give them the title. I didn't give them anything. I just told them that, like, the heart of like, hey, we keep saying that we're the voice of the next generation and like people keep putting that on us. And like, what does that really mean? That means that we actually need to be teaching this next generation the Bible. And that heart and that vision is what I give. And then I let them take that. And I think that they're, and this is what I mean by things unfold and evolve is Nate or Bella, their translation or their, what pours out of them from getting that vision is where that's where their artistry comes from. And that really kind of shows like, oh, I didn't have a very specific sonic sound or song for what I knew this was, but you took that vision and ran with it. And this is what you came up with. And I can take that and we can kind of just like work with it. And it's just like, that's the beauty of it all is when we give vision and we give them the freedom and what they come back with, I kind of take it back. And then now it's like, okay, I mean, we wrote maybe 12, 13 songs for this album. There's only six of them, seven with the intro, but like we wrote a lot of songs. And so there's things that don't always make it, but the practice of those, of that relationship is what's important to us, is that we take vision, we run with it, we create, we pour out from our artistry what God's doing with us, and then we bring it back and we construct, like we try to be architecture and like we like try to build something from it. And everything doesn't always make it, but our team is great. Like they trust me at the end of the day. If I'm like, hey, we recorded 15 songs, and they look at the track list, like, there's only six songs on here. And I'm just like, yeah.
Like, Nick, I was like, sleepy. I was tired. The game was on. I was watching the Celtics.
I'm like, yeah, I'll see you guys in 3 weeks. And then I come back and I'm like, yeah, this is a 7-song album now. And they're like, wait, what happened with the other ones? And we kind of like work through and they're like, oh, we get it. Like there's a flow. There was a vision. There was just this kind of like world that we were trying to create. And our team, like they get it. Like they get how this whole process works. And so we haven't figured it out all the way, but I think that we're in a, like, we just keep doing those back and forth and we just keep creating within these boundaries, but keep receiving vision and keep doing things from the heart. Like it, the freedom doesn't feel like we're just kind of like aimlessly just putting out music.
So where does that value of creativity come for you specifically? Like, it's clearly important to you. You study it, you know, why, what is your why around being creative and artistic, and especially in this space?
Man, I think that there's, I'm trying not to be so like,
no, do it, man. That's why I'm asking. I try very hard to not ask you to ask you questions that you don't get from other people. That's what I'm hoping for every time. Like, just
I'm glad to have like a bi-monthly or like a monthly just like call so we can just keep talking. But
I'm in. Sign me up.
I think there's something about creativity, about like there's a this the gospel or the beauty of, if we're all made in God's image and like the beauty of all that, like it almost like there's something about us being creative is where we get to see more of that. We get to see more of God through creativity. Like we get to see I don't know, it's just like it being a reflection of him is what makes me so passionate about it. Like it's because it like it all goes, it's like a mirror in a way. And so and it's not always, and I think that's why I have this window in my office now, but like even looking at nature sometimes, like it's just the ultimate creator to kind of like see where we are. It's just like, man, like this is who we get to co-create with. And so I think it kind of starts there, but to kind of zoom in a little bit and more in the Christian space, I think that I don't like sometimes things feel super one-dimensional. And I think that there's spaces that haven't been, I don't think it's anyone's fault. It's not a bad thing. I think sometimes people come and like, oh, I gotta be creative because like everyone's doing the same thing. And I don't think that's the tone at all. Like that's not issue. I think that there's just not enough of the other. Like you can't get mad at like people who are doing the thing that they're really supposed to be doing and they're doing a great job at, but like who's doing the other? Like it's not a this versus that, but that's why I mean like things don't have to be so one-dimensional. It's like we're not trying to shift the sound of worship music. We're just trying to stretch it. Like we're trying to like add more to what that looks like and what that sounds like, and like put a comma there and like be like, yeah, it's that. And it's also this, and that, and it's also that. And so I think that that's where it comes from, to where it's not a rebellious thing where it's just like, we're going to do the opposite of what everyone else is doing. It's more of like a, okay, but I think that that's supposed to be a comma. And I think that we need to keep almost like revealing like what this could look like and what this could sound like and what this could be. And so that's where the value comes from, is this feeling like that we're not done. We're nowhere near done unfolding what creativity looks like with God. Like we're just now scratching the surface, and 100 years from now, whatever, we're still gonna be doing it. But I have that overwhelming feeling of, like, this can't be it. Like we haven't figured it out. Like there's no way we've solved what worship music sounds like. Like who do we think we are? Like this is way beyond this. And so like that's where I'm just that curiosity and that like excitement to know that, like, oh, there has to be so much more out there. There has to be, and I think we've probably talked about this before. I always use the reference of colors, where it's like, this has to be so many, we can paint the same story, but with more colors. Like there's more colors that we can paint this story with. And so like, that's been my biggest drive of just like, what else, how else can we tell this beautiful story? Because there's so much to eat from. Like there's so much to pull from it, but I don't think that we have enough people willing to stretch and kind of put a comma, but they'd rather just put a period and just kind of go for what they know.
Do you think that's a reflection of the audience or of the artist, do you think? If you were to theorize, I know you don't have all the answers, but we're kind of walking down this road a little bit. Yeah. So I'm just curious.
Well, it can't be the audience, because the audience should be like almost everyone. Like essentially, shouldn't like this music be for everyone? And so I think it just hasn't been, it's just a door or a window or whatever, something just hasn't been knocked down yet. I think that every move or every sound has pioneers, and it has like people who are willing to kind of I was just talking to, I don't know if you know who Forrest Frank is. He's kind of like this, he's a Christian guy, but he's been putting out music. But we were just talking about this the other day, but it's like every, like, a lot of people are not going to get it. They're going to, like, we're going to be the people that's, it's going to be awkward, but it's like, not saying that we're going to be the pioneers, but I think that we just need people who are willing to push it down. And then there'll be a flood of people. I think what's the most exciting thing about rhythm and our projects are what, how it's going to inspire other people as well to start to think that, oh, I didn't know this could sound like this. I didn't know that this could be that. I thought that was a period, but you're kind of telling me that this actually is a comma. And we actually do those things. And so I think that we just need more people. And it's not going to, it's not based out of someone not doing it. I think that we're just in a new time to where it's like, it's time now. It's time now for there to be a stretching in Christian music where it's just like, it's not always the same. And I think that it's going to take people willing to kind of do that. And I think that it's going to be a beautiful, it's going to be a beautiful result when we see like, wow, I didn't know Christian music or worship music could be this.
You're speaking to my soul right now. It is interesting. I've often thought, and I'm actually kind of in this other project of like another podcast I'm running and kind of focusing on songwriting in the church and in that same space of going, like, it's like, I love how you said, like, it's a comma, not a period. And there's a similar, you know, thought that, you know, somebody else said to me, like, oh, it's not wrong. It's just incomplete, you know? But if we're always kind of striving for like, well, in order to be successful, I have to fit into this box. And it's like, oh, that's a cool song. Let's put it in here so people will listen to it. Right. Versus being in that space of going like, I think people want to listen to a lot of different things, you know? And I love what you guys are doing musically. I think it's, like I said, I think it's so cool. It's so different from anything I would naturally do, but I'm like I said, I'm just like loving it. I'm just like, oh, I got God in this. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like from the standpoint of just like, it's powerful. I mean, it is like these huge synths, these big, just like, oh man, I would look like a total idiot if I was in this crowd because I'm just like so into it right now. This is like fantastic. And so I love that you guys are pushing that. And I also love the fact that you guys have the freedom to do that because yeah. You don't have to be in that space of like, well, we going to make this money back, bro. Like, you yeah. know, like, you know, which is like, if you're in a regular band, if you're just like a band that's out on the road, right. It's ROI, right. It's like, and how do we create that space for artists to be able to create in that way? And I think it's awesome that you guys are like providing a model of that. And then what you're coming out with is amazing. So thank you for pushing the envelope on that. Okay. One more question for you. If you've got the time, is that okay?
Yeah, I'm chilling. Cool.
What are your favorite tools to use in the studio?
Oh man, you caught me at a bad time because I just changed everything. I decided last week that I'm going to go a little bit more analog. I've been in the box most of my life. I've always just kind of just did things kind of like in Ableton or Logic or whatever, which is interesting. I changed DAWs that I use every like 4 years just so I don't feel like I'm doing the same thing. So I've been in Ableton for the last 3 years. I'll probably produce in it for maybe one more year and then I'll probably switch to something else, maybe Logic. But right now, I'll show you, you kind of see right now, but like, okay. I just got this, all these pedals, that they're kind of like weird pedals that kind of like delay things. I have like these synths. This synth at the top is some Japanese synth from the 80s, that I found on eBay. And then I just have this tape machine that I just got. So right now the goal is to really like try to go for more of a warm sound. And like try to get this, like, I don't know, I just want to run everything through tape right now. That's my new thing, is everything's going to go through weird pedals and tape. And just because it's just exciting. My approach is going to, and I haven't done it yet, so I don't know if anyone's listening and is going to do it because you think that it's successful. I can't tell you if it's going to work or not, but my goal is to really just like to create in this place of like improvising and just like making music for like 30 minutes and just trying different things and then going back and binding the song within that playing time. Like it's almost like I'm just going to play. I'm just going to just explore and mess around and then come back and put my producer hat on and just find the song. Like find the song within the 45 minutes of just like imagination. And I just kind of want to reactivate that in like that playfulness and that curiosity and that wonder and not become so template based and where it's just like this, that. And so that's my new approach. So my tools probably are going to be way more, it's still going to be Ableton. I think Ableton just handles raw audio the best. Like, and the way you can manipulate audio in Ableton is just like the best to me with like their algorithms and stuff. And so I use that. I only really use a MIDI keyboard. I know I have these keyboards, but they all,
because they look cool. I mean, they're definitely cooler looking, you know?
Just the look. I did that for everyone else. But like, I all have them all routed to one keyboard. And so between that and my AirPods, I like to make music on my AirPods. I think it's like I said before about wanting to hear things, how people are going to hear it. I stay in a space where I'm not kind of getting the most high tech studio stuff. It's all cool and it all sounds great, but it's just not going to be accurate to how people are going to listen to it. So I like to just have AirPods. I let the engineers, they'll let them get all the cool stuff and all the expensive stuff. I'll get the basic stuff. So yeah, I just use a MacBook, Ableton. But now that I have all this gear, I'm going to try to figure out how to run it all through tape and just start messing with audio. Yeah, I don't know if you want specifics outside of that, like mics and speakers and stuff, but that's kind of like my favorite tool is Ableton.
That's all. Well, it's so interesting how, you know, I always write on guitar. And so like, I've been playing around with like, oh, well, what if I get on the piano and do this? And it's amazing how I'll take the same exact song I'm working on. And I'm so not good at piano that I end up hitting all these wrong chords. And then I go, ooh, that one, that's actually better. Like you kind of get in these ruts. And so anything that you can do to like pull yourself out of that and like start playing around and like, well, what if it's this now? I love that, man. I was actually talking to a guy, this guy last week where he was showing me a studio and he just got all this Moog stuff. Like he got like a DFAM and a motherboard or something. Anyway, but it's like legit, like you have to patch stuff with cables to make the sounds. And I'm like, that is a level of, and he's just getting started. He's like, I'm just reading manuals right now. Like I just think it will be cool. But like, oh my gosh, I'm like, you know, UA audio, you know, they've got, or UAD has a Moog plugin that sounds great.
Load it up. You gotta make your MacBook is charged up.
Yeah. I mean yours definitely looks cooler, but I feel like I can get to this quicker. But man, that is awesome. Well, Josh, thank you so much for like opening up about this stuff. I knew I was gonna talk to you. I hadn't heard the record yet, and I was so excited that it was you, because last time we talked, it was like a dual thing, which was great, but I was like, Josh is quiet. I want to hear more of what Josh has to say, because he's like the mastermind. I actually thought of Rick Rubin, so it was funny that you were reading that book. But yeah, I cannot wait to hear more of what you do. And thanks for joining us.
Okay, my favorite part of the whole interview was the Rick Rubin call out.
He pulls out the book.
And he pulls out the book. I've been reading Rick Rubin's book, and it is...
For the people that don't know... Me. Who is Rick Rubin?
Okay. So Rick Rubin. Who is Rick Rubin?
I can't be alone in this.
Rick Rubin is a producer extraordinaire. He is a gray-bearded, like, zen-like white guy who has worked with everybody from Johnny Cash to Jay-Z to the Beastie Boys.
You mentioned him.
And
before.
He's just like I've seen videos of him where he's, you know, in a studio session, and then he'll just, like, he's talking to Jay-Z, and he's just like, what if you start this song a cappella, and then a beat drops here? And you're like, that's, like, one of the best beat drops in, like, all of music.
Dang.
and he's just that guy. And so like his book is really fun. It's like, I'm listening to it. So he's narrating it, which is also wonderful. And he's just like, the universe is always in motion. Our jobs as creatives is just to, it's called the creative act. But if you just replace the word universe with God, mm-hmm. as you're listening to it, it's a profound book. It's awesome for creatives. Highly recommend. Mm-hmm. And it's clearly work. And Josh, like, it's just like his philosophies. As he was talking, I was like, dude, this guy sounds like Rick Rubin. And he's mm-hmm. just like, yep, you gotta do.
That album was so good in the way that it's called This Is the Gospel. And I loved when he made the point of, if we are a young people reaching this next generation, that we might as well also give them the truth. Like, instead of just doing cool music to cool beats, like, right. to actually give them the truth. And so these songs, though they're like layered on top of like very produced and very cool sounds, mm-hmm. it's just preaching the gospel.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know, I feel like there's a move back to really plain spoken things. You know, think back to when we had Welcome Wagon on, mm-hmm. right? And they're this like, in like arty indie outfit mm-hmm. kind of a deal, but then they're just like putting straight scripture on their records yeah, and yeah. Their lyrics are all just very plain. And it's like, I'm not trying to hide anything from you. I'm not trying to like trick you mm-hmm. into, I feel like there was a season in music where it was like, let's just try and make it as ambiguous as possible. And then it'll be yeah. more attractive. And it's like, no, it's a lot more attractive. Just say what you want to say and mm-hmm. say it, you know? So, yeah, it's so well done. You should definitely listen to this record. It is, go and do it. I mean, I don't know if you'll do it at your church.
Like, yeah, probably not.
I would sound like an idiot doing this at my church, but they sound amazing doing this. And I think it's really powerful.
The last song on the album, I'm blanking on the name now, that I could see working in most worship contexts.
Yeah.
But the first few, definitely not. But they're great. They went straight onto my Vibey Jesus music playlist.
I'm trying to picture what Vibey Jesus looks like. What's he wearing?
I don't know, but he's probably on a surfboard.
I bet you Jesus is a killer surfer. And on that note, you can't learn to surf on Worship Artistry, but you can learn to play a bunch of songs, over 600 of them,
yes.
that you can lead for your church or lead, honestly, in your own quiet times. Or if I might recommend, thinking on the graduation theme, get it in the hands of your kids.
Yes.
They are so native to the internet, and it like they pick up on it so quickly. And it's one of those things, if I think back to when I was a kid and I was, you know, 14, 15 years old, and if I had a tool like Worship Artistry, like I already grew fast because I was obsessive, but I can't imagine having access to this. So even if you're not thinking about yourself, think about your kids. See if you can get them on board. And you can try it out for free for 21 days, and we hope to see you there.
Bye.
Ha 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 ha.